Ryan's razor-sharp edge has been dulled by the loss of his son, Dean. But grief is an emotion he cannot indulge if the band is to escape the chains of sadistic Baron Ethan. His thriving vill offers a special commodity, Bloodsport. With JB imprisoned and near death, Ryan and the others are forced to join Ethan's hunt, as the hunted. But the perverse and powerful Baron has changed the rules. Skilled in mind control, he ensures the warriors will not be tracked by high-paying thrill-seekers. Instead, they will hunt each other. Deathlands 67, Death Hunt. Deathlands Separation is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 2005, The Cutting Corporation. Performed by Richard Rowan with Terrence Aselford, Nanette Savard, Timberly Chanel, Kate Torrey, Thomas Penny, and Christopher Graybill. Directed by Rick Rowan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Vocal editing by Matt Webb and Dan Smith. Sound design by Brian Patton and Dan Smith. The Deathlands theme was composed by Mark Ashby. If you enjoyed Deathlands, be sure to look for James Axler's Outlanders, available at road stops everywhere, at 1-800-670-5220, or at www.cuttingaudio.com, where you'll find samples of all our action punk titles, as well as free screensavers, ringtones, and games. Keep listening for a special preview after these announcements. Outlanders 25, Talon and Fang.
Kane dreamed in fragments, but none of the fragments made any sense. A humid cloak of darkness swathed most of his mind in sweaty ebony folds. Only infrequently came brief flares of light and cogent thought. The wavering lights took on the appearance of faces, faces that somehow resembled his mother, his father, and other people he knew, but couldn't name all at the same time. He had an inchoate awareness that he had promised to do something for that face, but he couldn't remember what. He knew he was dreaming, just as he knew it was pointless to try to remember what kind of promises he had made to dream faces. He doubted he would remember the dream or the faces in the light of day. There were far too many dreams to recall over a lifetime of them. Distantly, he wondered just how many dreams he might have experienced over a span of decades. Daydreams didn't count, for they allowed the dreamer to possess at least a modicum of control, and most of his daydreams had been pleasant. No one except the incurably psychotic would daydream a nightmare when more pleasing fantasies of power and sex and simple happiness were but a thought away. So Kane realized he was in the throes of a nightmare, simply because he wasn't enjoying himself. Time seemed to hang motionless, even while his mind raced onward like a runaway war wag with the pedal bolted down hard to the metal. He was aware of nothing but a void surrounding him. Then, with the kind of abruptness that happens only in dreams, the void ended against a huge iron-braced door. It loomed up before him, but he didn't slow his mad flight. Right before he thought to crash headlong into it, the door opened directly into a long, broad hall that grew indistinct in the murky distance. Kane raced along the corridor, not allowing himself a moment to clear the confusion from his thoughts. The corridor walls were lined by flickering torches and metal sconces. The floor, walls, and ceiling were of stone, cut into huge square blocks. The walls on either side of him were covered with brightly colored friezes, portraying men and women he thought he recognized. The images flickered and changed whenever Kane tried to focus his eyes on them. As he plummeted past, it almost seemed that the women in the friezes bore Tanvira's face or hair or eyes. The women smiled as their bodies were fondled by various male partners, some of them with handsome, finely chiseled features, and others who looked more like animals. Sweet William stepped out from the frieze, oozing slime from every knobby wart, ridiculously clad in the open red jacket of one of Lord Strongbow's dragoons, and nothing more. The Pishchakas greeted him with outstretched talons and foam-flecked fangs. Kane flashed through him as if the goblin man were no more substantial than a shadow. Voices spoke. It took Kane a long time to visualize the people who belonged to the voices. At first, he tried to outrun the voices, to leave them behind in the void, but they followed him.
You're breaking old, ingrained habits and acting out of terror. That can be deadly.
You brought all this up. Curiosity always has its price, you know.
Grant, Brigid, Domi. The names echoed in the hollow halls of his memory. There were other voices, other names he knew he should remember, faces he knew he had seen somewhere. He tried to call out into the dreamscape surrounding his racing body, but he could force out no sound. The only noise he could hear was inside his chest, the oxygen within his lungs echoing heavily with the dull thump of a multitude of air sacs expanding open and slamming shut. With each new opening and closing sound, he felt his lungs constrict. Kane kept flying, feeling his heart clenching and unclenching painfully inside his chest. He dashed through a series of empty chambers lit by a ghostly illumination. The long corridor abruptly ended in utter impenetrable blackness, like a sepia sea. Kane couldn't stop himself, and he plunged into it. All around, the darkness was filled with stars. His vision blurred, and he wondered to himself which would kill him first, his heart bursting or soaring into the heart of a star. He managed to twist his neck and look around and down. There was no horizon, no land, no earth, only stars, and he realized he was surrounded by an inky black curtain dusted with a million grains of diamond-dusted starlight. The stars were everywhere at once as he plunged through them. All around him, suns burned with a pure, clean radiance. The clouds of nebula glowed silver against the primal black. Constellations wheeled and glittered. He could feel the movement of the universe pulsing against him, hear the songs sung by the stars. Somehow, he realized he was floating through a point in non-space and time from which all spaces and times were accessible. He also knew a single consciousness was responsible for that accessibility, and it was unnatural. Almost as soon as the notion registered in his mind, he saw a pair of crimson stars smoldering among the millions of constellations. They glittered before him, glowing like malignant eyes. They drew Kane forward as if his consciousness were made of metal filings and the eyes were magnets. He tried to stop, to slow down, to change direction. Instead, he plummeted toward the hell eyes, all control gone. The crimson radiance grew brighter, more vivid, and around the crimson stars formed a face. It was a man's face, undeniably human, yet with alien, hellishly glowing red eyes. The high-boned face was very pale, with sharp cheekbones and a jutting chin. His ears were very small and delicately shaped, nestled close to the hairless skull. His inhumanly large, curved eyes had no pupils, only obsidian irises with a bare hint of white at the corners. The eyes were less organs of vision than apertures leading to the fathomless ends of the universe. Then the flesh seemed to melt away, revealing a gleaming metallic mask of burnished silver, made even more ghastly by the red eyes burning in sunken sockets. Delicate inlays of circuitry coated his fleshless skull. Small white teeth grinned in a mirthless leer. The grinning, naked skull floated in the sepia sea, a gleaming silver in which sparks of livid red flame danced within the shadowed sockets. A sudden riot of images exploded in his mind. They were only wheeling pieces, splinters of fire and blood in the gulfs of deep space. He felt a crazed tumble of emotions, all different but all simultaneous. Anger, stark terror, and a grief so deep it seemed his heart would shrivel. He felt a sickening sensation as all stability and sanity crumbled. Then he careened through scenes of carnage, of blood and fire. Monstrous pillars of flame roared above the skyline of cities. Men, women, and children fled, howling like souls in hell. He saw rows of red things strapped to tables, living human beings in the process of dissection. He glimpsed white bones and blood and strips of flesh laid back for the inspection and removal of internal organs. He stared at a world, at many worlds, in torment, at skies across which curtains of black smoke scudded, as blistering shockwaves wrenched mountains from their beds, flattening cities, monuments, and all the works of humankind. A voice seemed to whisper to him, not from far away, but from everywhere. It was a voice he had heard before.
I penetrate all the barriers between casements, going back into the past, infiltrating the highest corridors of power, so that when the proper historical moment arrives to strike, the world changes forever.
Kane struggled not to scream in horrified realization as recollections of the warning from so many years before flooded into his mind.
You will know my presence in your own casement soon enough. By then, I hope you will have resigned yourself to what cannot be changed. Do not fight anymore. There is no closest.
Cain was no stranger to fear. He had lived with it daily, and it was an emotion he long ago had learned to bottle, to contain. Now it escaped and spread through him like a virus, consuming him with terror, horror, and panic. He set his teeth on the scream rising from his throat. The death's head leered at him, and the jaws of the skull opened. A peal of hideous laughter poured from the yawning jaws. Cain plunged toward that gaping maw, determined not to give voice to his surge of terror.
Don't waste time searching the stores for the next installment of your favorite series or stories you've missed. Call 1-800-670-5220 and order direct in CD, cassette, or MP3 CD formats. Or plug into Graphic Audio's website, where you can order it in those formats. Or, for accelerated gratification, download it right now for your computer or digital player. It'll be online before anywhere else. You'll also get free screensavers, ringtones, games, and other goodies. www.cuttingaudio.com and 1-800-670-5220.